I'd ask you to open your Bibles to Romans 8 with me, chapter 8 of the book of Romans, as we continue to look at our life in the Spirit. It's what we've been studying. We're returning from that. We took 1 week off for Thanksgiving message last week. But what we're talking about here is our life by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're digging into this. So, hey, grab your outline also. I'm going to go through some things here I want you to look at as we go through that. So open in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We'll be looking at verses 9 through 13 in detail today and grabbing your outline. Since chapter 6 of Romans, we have been learning about the spiritual transformation that has taken place at the moment of our salvation and what is happening in our life from the believer from then on. That's what we've been going through and learning and digging into. Theologically, it's the study of the doctrine of sanctification is what it is. Here it all is right here in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. But in chapter 8 here, of Romans, the Apostle Paul details for us the work and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about our life of sanctification. That's where we're at. That's what we're studying, what we're getting into, the work and power of the Holy Spirit to bring about that salvation in our life. We've been digging into all of that. Look at your outline with me. God's Word has taught us so far in chapter 8 on what we looked at, that by that work and power of the Holy Spirit, that our life in the Spirit is freedom from sin's condemnation. Now, you see that there, and I got some verses down in there, but this is what reviewing, where we've already looked at. We're free from sin's condemnation. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no judgment or punishment of sin. There's consequences, yes. There's no wrath because we're in Christ, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, that's what he says, has set us free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death no longer operates in a believer's life. That operates in the unbeliever, in the unsaved world. The law of sin and death, you sin, you will have eternal death. You have to pay for it yourself. Either you do or Christ does. You haven't believed you're going to do that. What's operating in our life now is the life in Christ by the law of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit did this by giving us new life in Christ. That's what he did. It was by his power, his work, he set us free from the operation of sin and death. By the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we were regenerated, we were born again, made new, given new life in Christ. He did that. But the Holy Spirit also enabled us to fulfill God's law because he imputed to us the righteousness of Christ. We looked at all of that. That's what the Holy Spirit did. He credited to you the righteousness of Christ. So as God would see you, as you stand before God, you fulfilled all of God's law. Just like Christ did, because it's his righteousness. But not only that, he also imparted us a righteousness in this new life that we have in Christ. The new life that we have, the born-again life, regenerated life, this life that God has given all believers that we've been given. We can and will live righteously because it's the life that we have. Before we couldn't, now we can. And we will grow and live righteously in attitude and action and thought to be more and more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what he did. So you have new life. That desires to live righteously, desires to live right before God. Really, it only desires that. Your flesh doesn't desire that, but your new life, that's only that desires. For the Holy Spirit is at work in your new life towards sanctification, enabling you and me, all of us, to fulfill God's word, God's law. That's what the verses in your outline. You see the verses that are in there under point one there? That's why I put those verses in there. I put a lot of verses in my outline, and let me explain it to you a little bit just to encourage you. So as we go through God's word, I put all those in there. It helps the flow and our understanding and of what God is saying, the text, where we're at. If you read all of those and just kind of go over the scripture and the points in the passage and then read all of those, you should come up with the same message that I said. Because what those verses do is they prove this is what God says. That's why they're in there. That's why I put them there to help us, because it's important that we want to understand what God said, but we want to understand what God meant by what he said. And so those passages in there help with that. They point to the truth, and they also prove that this is what God is teaching, freedom from sin's condemnation. Those are going to help you with that. That's why they're there. Secondly, God's word has taught us that our life in the Spirit is a transformed life. It's not the old life that you used to have that got pumped up a little bit or something added to it. We understand that. It's a transformed life. It's not addition at all. You're a new creature. You have a new nature. The Holy Spirit changed your nature. The scripture says it's a divine nature, a newness of life. You've been set free from sin slavery in your new nature. Your old self, the flesh, that's all it wants to do. So recognize that. We've been learning that. Your new life has a new nature. Scripture tells us it's a resurrected life of God given, a life hidden, protected in Christ with God. with a new bent in life, a new way of life, a new desire to live godly. It's a divine, it's what he gave you, a new nature, a new desire, a new way of you. It's a transformed life. We looked at Romans 8, 4 through 8. It tells us that it's life that lives according to the Spirit of God, not according to the flesh anymore, as a fact. Not a choice, not an admonition for us to choose in one of them, but this new life we have actually lives according to the Holy Spirit of God, according to the Spirit, new life that he gave you. Yes, we battle the flesh. Yes, we have to deny the flesh. Yes, we have to do that. But you've been given a life that lives according to the Holy Spirit, according to the Spirit of God, his power. That's a new life you've been given, a life now and always that will be at peace with God, no more enmity between you and God at all, reconciled relationship. It's a new life that can subject itself to God's way, to God's law, to God's truth, a life that can understand and comprehend God's word, a life that is to be lived to please God. In fact, Scripture says all believers are learning to do so. If you're a believer in Christ, God is at work in your life, teaching you, you are learning how to live to please God, because that's the new life that he gave you. Now, we struggle with that, and we battle the flesh and all that, but that's the life that you have. All believers are moving in that direction by the God's justifying work, because and sanctifying work, because we're in the doctrine of sanctification, and God is teaching us and telling us that's what's going on in all believers. Some more, some less. It's a stumbling ground sometimes. Sometimes there's something that's an obstacle in the way, and God is at work in that and all of that. But this is what God is doing in those that are his. Always. Always at work here. And whatever happens in this world, whatever happens in your life, whatever's going on here, God is at work in the people of God in this with the new nature that he's given them. And our ambition becomes that we would live to grow and to please God. We covered that all in depth. That's just the highlight of where we've been. But we want to capture all of this. And again, those verses that I put in there in your outline under Transform Life affirm this is what God has said. This is God's truth. Now today, what we look at is that our life, by the power and work of the Holy Spirit, our life in the Spirit is empowered to have victory over flesh. It's empowered to have victory over sin. Let me just kind of put it in a way that we can just kind of grab it and all that. You know, you ever have in your heart just like, man, I just can't change that. I just can't do that. I'm like that. It's just there. Any of you ever have that in your life? Only me? We have that, right? According to God's word, baloney. It's hard, it's self-sacrifice, it's denying yourself, because your flesh never wants to go the way that God wants you to go. When we went all over that, I can't cover all that again. But the truth of the matter is that if you walk with the Lord, that if God is at work in your life, that you're submitting to that, we're going to get into some keys to this victory that we have. God, because the Spirit of God has given you new life, the life of God, divine nature, new nature, where the Holy Spirit, God himself, the Spirit of Christ, God himself dwells in, you're going to say now you're not empowered to deal with your flesh? What did God mess up? Did he mess up something? Did he not do a good enough job in our life, in our sanctification, in our salvation, in our new life? You know, I just can't do, you know what? I find myself, that's when the crux comes and I say, Lord, forgive me because I thought I was God. That's what I was thinking. No, you're God. You did this. Help me with this. Walk me this way. We've been empowered to do so. Verses 9 through 13, these verses in your outline will reflect and point and prove that's what God is teaching us in the text. Just looking a little back a little bit, or just the introduction into what we're going to get into today. This is why it was so important for us to see and understand the truth of Romans 7, 14 through 25. So important for all the time that we spent there, where we saw that the believers' present battle with sin, with the flesh. It's a present battle. Even the Apostle Paul, present battle as a mature believer in Christ, he battles for victory over his flesh. He is, I am, you are, we are. But we've been empowered to sanctify. Would you ever get sanctified if it wasn't about victory over your flesh? How would you ever grow to be more Christ-like? Because what I recognize is when I'm not Christ-like, God calls that sin. He calls that me following my flesh. He calls that me not following him. And he says, okay, I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to work in your life. You're going to follow that less, and you're going to sin less, and you're going to follow me more. And none of us make glorification here, but that's what God is doing. So we have to understand that's what God set up in Romans 7, 14 through 25, for all of us to acknowledge, yep, And we all did, didn't we? We all acknowledged it. And then now we get in here what the Holy Spirit has done. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. When I fall short, there's no condemnation. God said, I don't want you to be condemned. I don't want you to think you're condemned. I want you to understand you've been set free from that. In fact, I gave you a new life that can fulfill the law of God. It's a new nature. It's a new heart. It's a new way of you. I gave it all to you. It's a life. Now we're going to look at the Holy Spirit dwells in you. God himself is there. You've been empowered to do this. That's what we're getting into. It simply goes like that. For every believer is in the sanctification work of God. Everyone is, and we're gaining victory over living for the flesh to live to please God. Every believer is gaining victory from sinning in attitude, action, and thought to becoming righteous in attitude, action, and thought to becoming Christ-like. No one attains completeness here on earth, but all believers are on the journey in that direction. We've been empowered to win that battle. That's a good place to say, thank you, Lord, right? Right? I mean, I want my attitude with you know, things in my life where God reveals to me I have the wrong attitude or wrong thing or that kind of thing for him to work at me so I could reflect Christ more. How about you? Right? We know nobody in the room's Jesus, right? Right? Some of us may struggle about thinking about that, but anyway, that's what we're learning here, what we're getting into. For 9 through 13 tells us every believer has the power to do so, the power and work of the Holy Spirit. For the truth is that the Spirit of God dwells in the believer, always, every believer. And he has all the Spirit. And we're going to dig into that a little bit. He got all the Spirit you're ever going to have. It came in your salvation, came to dwell in your life. All these verses say this, that in your salvation and all that God has done in your transformed life that he gave you, here's the crux. He says, you're obligated to live that way. You're obligated to live by the Spirit of God, which the Spirit of God is putting the deeds of the body, the flesh, the sinful flesh, to death, sanctification. He said, you're obligated to live that way. In fact, that word there, obligated, and I haven't even read it yet, but we'll get there. That word obligated means you're indebted. It's an accountant's term. God used that word for a reason. So we're going to really see the life here. We've been empowered to do this. And then God, he said, well, and this is what you're to be doing. So let's dig into this a little bit. And we'll look at some great things today. And just so we can capture all of this, we're going to read verses 1 through 13. And we'll just move along here of our life in the Spirit, empowered for victory over the flesh. Listen to, so we just capture the flow and it just hit our hearts. Romans 8, 1 through 13, because I just gave you the whole outline in that. The Word of God says, the Apostle Paul writes, chapter 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He did it through Jesus Christ. We focused on that all day today. That's the avenue, a way it came to us, of putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the work of he did, we believe and trust in the finished work of Christ. Then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through our faith, changes us. Verse 4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh, that's lost, cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Verse 10, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through a Spirit who dwells in you. Verse 12, so then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Isn't that clear? Isn't that clear? That's just clear as daylight, isn't it? What God is saying. All of that God has done, all of this happening in your life, you've been empowered to do so. In fact, God is doing that. And when you walk by the Spirit of God, when you live according to the Spirit of God, what is happening is the deeds of the body, the deeds of your sinful flesh are being put to death. It's life. It's pretty simple what he says. It's pretty clear. We've been empowered to do so. Let's look at it this way for a second, just so we capture it. It's like there's a car that's in the parking lot. What's your favorite kind of car? What do you guys say? Who's got a favorite car? Yes.
CMG.
Okay. GMC. Okay. ABC. GMC. All right. Truck. Car. What?
Truck.
Okay. GMC truck. We'll forgive him, right? No. I have a Chevy. Is that okay? It's not okay. Okay. Anyway, so we got a great big GMC pickup out there. Big tires, right? All that, vroom, vroom, right? Four-wheel drive, roll bar, all of that, right? Engine's perfect, right? No oil leaks, nothing, right? Working great, right? The transmission works great, right? Driveline works great. Radio works great. Okay, right? Good sound system, the whole thing, right? It's full of gas, ready to go. Ready to go. Is it empowered to go down the road? Absolutely, right? It's empowered. It's ready. It's ready to go. What do you got to do? That's your life in Christ. That's our life in Christ. You've been given new life. All of this, it's ready to go. It's ready to journey with God. It's ready to go. But there's things that God is asking you to do that engages the ignition. Here, he's just talking about being ready to go. You're ready to go, you're obligated to go, you're indebted to go, you need to go, God wants you to go, this is the life he has for you. In fact, God is at work at you going, and actually he's, in a sense, as you kind of stall out, he's pushing the car, or dragging the car, because he's not behind, he's in front. But this is what we want to capture, this is what we want to get, I want you to get this. Your life in the Spirit is empowered, have victory over the flesh. First observation from our text, verse 9 through 11, look at it with me. Here it is, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ dwells, God dwells in you. How much does he dwell in you? 100%, right? 100%, right? He dwells, he's in your life, right? God is there, God is always there, God is always in your life, God is there. Look at verse 9, what he says. However, you are not in the flesh. God delivered you from that. In the flesh is not saved. You walk according to the flesh. Your mind is set on the flesh. All of those are stated facts. But you are not like that. You live according to the flesh. Your mind has the mind of Christ, all that we looked at last week. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. You don't belong to Christ. You don't have the Spirit of God. It's pretty simple. If you're saved, the Spirit of God dwells in you. He never leaves. He doesn't like, oh, come and go. You're not in the flesh as a fact. That's unsaved people as a fact. They can never live according to they live according to the flesh. You live according to the Spirit, right? You are in the Spirit. This is what God says, what his word says. You have the life in the Spirit. You have either all of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and you belong to Christ, or you have none of the Holy Spirit in you and you don't belong to Christ at all. It's all or none. That's the word of God, what it teaches. That's it. There's no one half. There's no one third. There's no 7/8. There's no needing more. You are either completely full of the Holy Spirit or you're totally empty. All that false teaching that's out there that goes in all of this kind of thing and get some more of him and get some more, that's not the scriptures. That's not the word of God. Right here, God teaches us in many other places, and the scriptures are in your outline. When you get saved, God comes to dwell in your life and it's all of him. Now, there's a thing that you may not surrender all of you to him. And God's at work in that, but he's all there. And what a horrible thing to do to Christianity and to believers in Christ, to teach them that they got to hop, skip, jump, think, believe, do some sort of thing so more of God will come into your life. That's horrendous teaching to the Christian, to the believer in Christ. So now, how much of it is your sin? How much of it is your flesh? How much of it is God sanctifying work in your life? How much is it God working you that? Or how much is it that you haven't done the right thing so you get enough God so you can actually live for the Lord? Baloney. Don't ever let that be in your mind and heart. It's not true. It's not what God and our relationship with him is. It's a complete work that God has done. In your regeneration, born again, made new, God came to dwell in you. We can go through all those scriptures, but it's true. Bottom line, God dwells in your new life. All of him, always, or not at all. 1 John 4:13 and 15 says it this way: by this we know that we abide in God. Abide, dwell. And he, God in us, abide, dwell. He has given us his spirit. God said in his word, this is that how you know that you are in God and you're in Christ and that Christ is in you. The spirit of God is in you. Now tell somebody, but not all of them. You got to do something. That verse doesn't even work. How would you affirm that you're the Lord's? Whoever confesses, it says, that Jesus is the Son of God, that so that he is Lord and Savior, God abides, dwells in him. Doesn't say in and out. It doesn't say some. It's all. Look at verse 10. Look what he teaches us. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. The body, the flesh, the remaining unredeemed humanity. We've looked at this. Think of it again with me. You guys remember Romans 7, 14 through 25? The dead corpse strapped to your back, trying to infect. You guys like that word too when I used infect, right? But I won't repeat that one, what it is. What's trying to infect? The dead self is trying to infect your new life, wanting to desire to corrupt your new way of life. But he says, you are alive. He says, but you're alive. John 6:63, the Spirit of God gives life. Listen, the car's ready to go. The one dwelling in you, the life he gave, is alive to God. Ephesians 2:5, you are made alive together with Christ. Your life is in union with Christ, God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, God himself dwelling with you. The Holy Spirit did that. Verse 11, look what he says. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What an incredible passage. What an incredible verse. You have a resurrected new life by the power of God, the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. That same God that raised him from the dead dwells in you. And you have that life in your mortal perishing body that one day will live in a new body. Because you know why? Because that life can never die that he gave you. And in one day when this flesh passes away and I go be with the Lord in return of Christ, I'm going to be in a new resurrected body to go with my new resurrected life. You have that spiritual life that you will have in eternity in the new heaven and earth. No more transformation has to take place. Sanctification, yes. You got to grow and become more like Christ. One day in heaven, glorification. But I'm fit for heaven right now. If I passed away right now, I would go be with the Lord. He wouldn't say, well, we got to change something. Body of this perishing mortal body's go, I have life. And he gave me life right now in this mortal body, right now in this flesh, right now in all of its struggle and whatever it is. That's what he's trying to get across to us. You have it now in your perishing body that's incarcerated with this flesh. 2 Corinthians 4:11, the Apostle Paul said it this way: for we who live, he's talking about who have new life, are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, meaning constantly dying to self, constantly dying to living for the flesh, even to physical death. And then it says this: so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's the life God gave you. That's the life God gave you. Listen to me. Look at me. Whatever you got going on in this world, whatever you got going on in this life, God is there, new life. He's given you new life. You have a new nature. You live according to the Spirit of God, right? You can understand God's word, understand God's truth. God himself right here every day, all day. And whatever's going on, God wants to manifest Jesus Christ, the truth of him, in your mortal flesh now and all day. That's incredible, isn't it? In all that you do and all that you are, that's what God is doing. That's called sanctification. That's the doctrine of what God is doing. Now, we fall short, and we stumble, and we struggle. You know, none of us is even close, are we? Give me an amen on that one, right? But that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing in your weekend this week. That's what he's going to be doing in your Christmas celebration. That's what he's going to be doing in your family celebration. That's what he's going to be doing when you're at watching Fresno State on the TV, watching them win. Yay. They beat Boise finally, 1984, since the last time they beat Boise State in Boise. That was righteous, wasn't it? All of it, God is at work in. King of kings, Lord of lords. He's our sovereign, right? That means he's working in all of it. There's nothing slipping through his fingers, nothing that he's not in power of, nothing that he's not using for his glory, nothing that he's not going to bring about good for those that love God, nothing, because he's the holy, sovereign, King of kings, Lord of lords. That's what we studied today. Remarkable, isn't it? Is it remarkable? It's okay if the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and showed you some things where you're struggling in, because that's called sanctification. That's what he does. He takes God's word. We look at it. What did he say? What did he mean? How does it apply? The Holy Spirit came into the world to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And he lives right here in me. What, he's not going to talk to me about mine? He's not. There's no condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no, hey, you're a loser, Ken. It's none of that. It's like a loving, caring, concerned God for my life as a father for his child, walking me to represent the King of kings and Lord of lords. What an honor. My legacy, like Orlando, I want it to be of Christ. Now, she was fleshly too and had her own things. You guys could attest to that, right? But her legacy was Jesus Christ, wasn't it? That's our legacy. That's when we go to heaven, that's what's going to get rewarded. The rest of it's burned up. Look at verse 12 with me. So we've learned all of that. That's incredible, amazing, remarkable. Look what he says. So then, think with me. You guys know language. Moms, you give your kids instructions, tell them all these kind of things, and then you give them a so then, don't you? You know, dads, you do that too, right, in some things? So then. It goes all the way back to Romans 7, 14 through 25. Hey, you have a present battle with sin, with your flesh. And at times you lose, at times you sin, at times you fall short, you follow the flesh, you love God, you love God's word, you joyfully concur with God in the inner man, but you lose the battle with your flesh, you follow it. Now, attitude, action, and thought, you sin, I sin, the Apostle Paul sins. I'm not scapegoating sin, I'm not saying, oh, it's just okay, but God knows, because he wants us to grow in sanctification. He doesn't want us to get lost in that we fall short. And so this is what he said next. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. In fact, there's no eternal judgment, no punishment for sin, no wrath of God coming your way. Consequences of sin, yes, we see that over the Word of God. But because the Holy Spirit has given you new life, and in that new life, it set you free from the law of sin and death. That law only works in unbelievers, operates in that. In fact, the Holy Spirit enabled you to live God's way, God's truth, God's Word. He created you with a new nature, a new bent of life, a new way of you. He desires to live rightly, that doesn't want to live a gratifying life to the flesh, that wants to live for God. Listen to what he said. It's a life of God that you have, the one that Christ came to give. You have peace with God, desire and can be subject your life to the Word of God. You can honor God's Word, live God's Word. You can desire and yearn to please the Lord. It's there in you. And the Holy Spirit, God himself, dwells in that new life, resides in you. The one that desires you to live righteously, Christ's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, God himself, you have that life, the life of Christ that died and gave his life, that went to the cross to give. And I gave it to you in your perishable mortal body, that's incarcerated by the flesh, that's trying to draw you away. So then, brethren, there you go. You got it? That's how you read God's word. That's why the grammar, that's why the text, that's why it's written that way. So then what, God? Brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ and of Christ. We are under obligation, he says. The word of God, you are under obligation. That word is, like I said, is an account word. You are indebted, you owe. That's what it means. This isn't this thing that it's like, okay, I'm overwhelmed with the rich theology and the rich doctrine that God has just poured into our head as we've been going through this for months. And now it says, so then, now God considers us obligated. I'm under a debt. You're indebted. You are obligated out of debt. You are have a moral and personal obligation to fulfill that. Before God, you're indebted to do. What is it? What does it say? We are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You are under obligation, not to the flesh. Isn't that clear what that says, you guys? Come on, help me. Isn't that clear? To live according to flesh. God didn't do this so you could live a self-gratifying, self-worship, self-glorifying, self-satisfaction so you would be gratified in this earthly life. Never will be about that. I'm sorry. The wrong teachings of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life corrupt the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit isn't here. So we can do the things that God wants us to do in faith so we can have an earthly gratifying life. I'm not saying God doesn't like or is against us having the good things that we have and having all of the blessings of God here, but that isn't the work of the Holy Spirit. That is a divine choice, a divine decree of God of where he placed us at and what our life is in. And if I'm in control of that, how would I control it? Because God is sanctifying me, and I'm struggling and falling short and moving on like Paul all the time. So it couldn't be based on my righteousness, because I have none of my own. So it wouldn't be based on anything that I did right, because the only thing I do right is because of God in me, the new life he gave me as I follow God. See how important this is to understand the work and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what he's doing? This is so important. This is the truth of God's word that is hammered against in our culture, in the evangelical church. And I don't like saying that, and I don't like, but I have a responsibility before God. I will stand and give an account of every one of your souls before the Lord on what I taught. And I don't want to hear Jesus say, Ken, why'd you say that? Well, because it felt good. I don't ever want to do that. And I've probably, yeah, I know I have. I've sinned in that, in areas. But God is faithful to forgive. This is so important for us to understand. So then, brethren, you're under obligation, not according to the flesh. In fact, what he says, here it is. If that's what you live your life for, if you're just live obligated to gratify self, he says you must die. And that word there is speaking about eternal death, eternal damnation, for you have no life and no indwelling of God, for you're none of his. That's what he's teaching. But you are under obligation. You are indebted to the Spirit of God to live according to the Spirit of God. That's what it says. The end of verse 13. But if by the Spirit of God, living by the Spirit of God, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So what's the Spirit of God doing in a new life? What's the new life by the power of God and Holy Spirit doing? I just read it. Putting to death the deeds of the body. That's the flesh. That's sin. You live. You're putting to death the deeds of the body, lust of the flesh, sin, in attitude, action, and thought, sanctification. That's what the word is. That's the doctrine being taught. You will live. You will have life. You and me are obligated because of God's incredible transforming work done by the work of Christ to walk by the Spirit so we don't carry out the desires of the flesh, Galatians 5. We're to be on that journey, to be conformed in attitude, action, and thought to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29, to have God renew our minds so that the worldly way doesn't shape the way we live. Only God's word does, Romans 12:2, to press on toward the goal of the upward prize of God, complete sanctification. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Philippians 3:10-14. That's our obligation to God, for he is at work in the life of all believers toward sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. Is that clear? Is it clear, you guys? So, is the car ready to go? Isn't that what God taught us? The GMC truck with big four-wheel tires on it, right? Four-wheel roll bar and the whole thing, it's ready to go. It's you. God's there, the engine's there, the power's there, the gas is there, it's all there, the truth is there, all of that kind of thing. It's all there. So as we conclude today, let me go through these kind of quickly. Let me give you some spiritual keys to victory. It's on the backside of your outline. So that he's taught that. We can't get to that till later and all that kind of stuff. But what he's taught us that we are empowered to have victory over our flesh, over sin. So how do we engage that power? How do we engage that victory? Here's some keys to it. And you'll see that they're true. How do you engage that power? Remember the car. Number one, submission to God's leading. Romans 8:14, right after this, says this, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Submission to the Spirit of God, isn't it? That's the key to it. There's no power when you're submission to me, myself, and I. There's no power when you're in submission to selfish things leading your life. Put it this way, when I'm in charge, it's the flesh, period. When I'm following God, I'm in submission to him, it's power. You got to ask what's leading your life, God, or is it you? And if it's you, your flesh, don't ever let your flesh trick you into thinking that you leading your life, not following the Spirit of God, is actually glorifying God at all. The new life is equipped to follow Christ, to follow the Spirit. That's the way it's equipped to. It's not on your own that you do this. Listen, you don't know tomorrow, do you? Let me ask you something. Anybody know what's going to go on 3 hours from now? You can guess, you can think, right? But you don't know what's happening 3 hours from now. 3 hours from now, you might run into somebody that God is wanting you to share certain something with. Or something may happen. You may get a flat tire or something may happen 3 hours from now where God is wanting to use that to show you your attitude, your action, your thoughts. You don't know what happened 3 hours from now that might go this way, that way, and that. And the Holy Spirit knows, and the Holy Spirit is ready and willing and able to guide you, to lead you, to show you, to grow you, for you to glorify Christ in your life and become more Christ-like. He knows that. You don't. You have no clue what's happening 3 hours from now. I don't. I got an idea. Hopefully I'm at Shepherding Group and we're chowing down, right? And that's what I believe I'm going to do, but I don't know the circumstances. He does. Who's looting your life? Who are you in submission to? Each and every day and all that you go through. You know, if you want all of this to happen in your life, if you're going to change and be Christ-like and God work in your life, you have to be in submission to him. In fact, if you're not, you're kind of just dragging around the car and it doesn't really go real far. What do you think, Charlie? If we drag your truck around, how far are you going to drag it? It really doesn't, because it's empowered by God and you have to follow God. You know the verse, Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. The correct Greek grammar there is being filled. The word is plerao, means to be controlled, dominated, overwhelmed. Like when you're overwhelmed in anger and that's all you can see the world in. You're just filled with anger. And so now everything in your life is just dealing with anger. Anybody ever had that one? You ever be filled with that? This is what this is meaning, is you choose to be dominated, controlled, filled by the Spirit of God leading your life. It's not that you're empty and you need more. That word there is not what it means. It means you are saying, he's going to dominate my life. God is, through his word, be in submission to the Spirit's leading. Be in subject to his control, dominated by the Spirit of God in teaching, showing, leading our life. All these go together. And I'll stay quickly, but I'm going to go a couple minutes over here. But all these spiritual keys go together. They all are connected. Second, give recognition to the presence of sin. That's in your outline there, right? I gave you a few verses. Romans 7, right? Verse 18, I know nothing good dwells in my flesh. My flesh doesn't want to honor God. Maybe you just said that every morning. Come on, you guys, look at me. Maybe you just wrote that down and said, nothing good dwells in my flesh, and my flesh doesn't want to honor God ever. I just wrote that down. I'm going to look at that every... Sin is present in me. Let me ask you, is it present in you? Now, I don't want you to sin, and I don't want you to follow it, but you got the flesh, right? And the flesh wants to sin, right? Verse 21, the principle of evil is present in me. Paul says, I find that I do the very thing that my new life doesn't want to do. You know what that's called? That's called sin. My flesh wants to sin, and if I follow it, it's sin, isn't it? How come in the church we act like this? How's everybody doing today? I'm holy and righteous and good always. Hi, how's it going? We all know the truth of God's word. We've all been taught the truth of God's word. Not that we should write it in announcements. You won't see it next week. In announcements, it's in the front. Pastor Ken, he's struggling with this attitude. And it's toward you, and he's got this action. We're not to do that, right? But we walk in this door to come worship God and the transformed life that he's given us. And in that, God's sanctifying work is in every single one of our lives. And it's okay to say, God's been showing me how I had a bad attitude for a neighbor today. Let me tell you how he helped me. We might fall down. Really? Because that's what's going on if we're Christians, if we're believers in Christ. You know, sometimes when you have younger kids and your mom and dad and you got all that going on, your mind gets you. Here's the enemy he gives you. He thinks everybody's evaluating according to how your kids are acting. Well, I had children. It's got nothing to do with you. Yes, you're to parent them and we want to encourage and all that, but God's got to work in their life. And as far as I know, you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to act upon them. I know you can discipline them, the word of God, all the things that God wants us to do, and we want to do all of that, but we're not here viewing each one of us in our life by according to how the children behave, are we? Because they're being sanctified if they have faith in Christ, amen? And in their little disobedient lives, God is using, remember, I've always said this, we should have a book in the Bible that says, children, the book of sanctification. So you have to submit your life to God, and then you have to acknowledge there's a presence of this change happening that God needs to work in my life, because there's the presence of that I don't do things all that honor and glorify God. Nobody does, or Jesus wouldn't have to come, and glorification wouldn't be till then. So we have to recognize this. Number three, know and obey God's word. Now that's pretty common, and we know this. But that's what we captured in Psalm 119 when we were going through it all. It said, teach me your word, teach me your principles, your precepts, show me the way of the truth, show me your ordinances, give me understanding of your ways, make your ways in me, help me live according to your word. Very relational. Colossians 3, 1 through 17, read that. But I'll paraphrase it for you real quick from just kind of my mind. Since you have a resurrected life, it says, keep seeking the things that are above. Set your mind on things above. Consider the members of your earthly body. That would be your flesh. Dead to immorality, passion, evil desires, greed. You once walked like that. You once lived like that. Put aside all wrath, anger, malice. Put off the old self. Wear the new life that you have in Christ. God is at work to bring about the image of Christ in it. As God's holy chosen people, put on the heart of compassion and kindness, forgive one another, bear with one another, put on love as a kind of an overcoat of it all. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Know what God says and means and apply it in your life. Let it fill your life. Obey it. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, when you do that, when that's your focus, the Holy Spirit is transforming you from one glory to one glory to one glory. Glory being character, nature of Christ. He's changing you from one step to one step to one step. The Holy Spirit, he's doing that in our life as we are studying and applying God's word. Number four, commune with the Lord. Commune with God, a relationship of prayer. We looked at that today, didn't we? That was awesome. Ephesians 1:18. Paraphrasing it again, pray this, God, enlighten my soul to know and understand the hope that I have in you and the riches of my life that are in you and the power of God at work in my life. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, Lord, from your glory that is endless, grant me to be strengthened in the inner man by the Spirit of God so I am grounded in Christ's love. Thank you, Vicky, for reading that today. The bottom line, so I can be all that God desires me to be, Christ-like. Tell God that you're following your flesh. 1 John 8, 1 John 1:8-10. Lord, I don't want to deceive myself. I sin. I don't want to act like I don't. Lord, I want you to hold me accountable. I want you to help me. I confess it, for I know you are faithful to grow me in my righteousness. Last key, be accountable to a church family. I had a lot to say here, but I'm going to keep it real simple here. The New Testament writers know of no life of the believer that isn't living a life of accountability within the church family. No New Testament writer ever says any of that. Ephesians 1-3 says, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And then you say, how Paul, with humility, gentleness, patience, show tolerance to one another, diligent to preserve the unity that God the Spirit has gave us. He's talking about us. And you go look at verse 25 where it says, lay aside falsehood, speak truthfully, for you are members one to another. Or you can look at 31 and 32 where he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and slander be put away from you and be kind and tender hearted to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you. And you can go all the way through chapter 14 and 15 of Romans where he says those that are strong need to help those that are weak. We need to recognize that people have weaknesses. We need to recognize that God has placed us here, that we're to edify one another and grow one another. We've been given the ability to admonish one another, all the different kind of things. The New Testament story, the New Testament truth is that the believers in Christ were accountable to each other as they lived life together. So here it is. Be submissive to God, submissive to Christ, to let God lead your life through the Word of God, to know it and obey it. Recognize there's some things that God's going to change in your life and you fall short, and He's going to focus on those and do that. Talk to God about it. Ask Him to help. Ask Him to seek. Be accountable to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'll guarantee you, the car will journey way down that road. I guarantee you. That's how God changes lives. That's how the testimony of Christ is given from a church, is that the people there, God is changing and growing and sanctifying, and they're becoming more Christ-like. And we're all on that journey. So church, let's start the ignition, right? We've been driving the car, but just to be encouraged today, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today and just the wonderful worship service that we had and all the focuses that we had on just the truth of Christ and what Christ came to do and the hope that we have and how this all fits in, Lord, is that here's the life. Right here, what we're learning. All of the glory of Christ and Him coming and the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that He brought and all that we're focusing on in the Advent and all the names of Christ that we're going to be looking at, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, all of those in that Advent reading are all going to picture for us the glory of our Lord, and what he brought was the life He wanted to give. It's called eternal life. It's a life now that the Father shares with His children on how to live. We're so thankful for this, Lord. We're so thankful for the day You've given. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being patient with me.